Yo, Brokey, what's happening?
Yo, Brokey, not a whole lot. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. A little frustrated with the technology and everything going on today, man. I'll tell you, it's been all day today. Technology has just been like rearing its ugly little head. Even at work today, we were trying to get some audiovisual stuff. I don't know, maybe there's like solar flares coming off the sun or something, but it's just been ridiculous. And then the audio
welcome
setup,
to your world, right?
Yeah, welcome to my world. But I do have beer to help me through it. I am currently drinking a Sweetwater G13 IPA, which is a relatively new one that Sweetwater put out there, a brewery out of Georgia.
I'm into the standard Bud Light right at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to keep it easy, keep it breezy, right?
That's right.
Just keep it simple. Sometimes you just want to come home. That's an easy everyday drinking beer. You can't complain.
So we haven't
recorded in a couple of weeks. We've had some stuff kind of coming up personal wise. We had I believe last week we passed on doing it for Ella's birthday, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Yep. What'd you guys end up doing?
Nothing really. Just went out and had some dinner. And, her and I really, through our relationship going on, let's see, probably about 18, 19 years now, is one thing that we always do is actually don't do is like birthdays and Valentine's and Christmas and things like that. We actually don't buy materialistic type of things for each other. We get something simple as a card, and we always talk about the love that we have for each other and for the kids and the grandkids and everything. That materialistic stuff you can just set aside. It's what you put in every day and show your love for one another and for the kids and the grandkids. And that's what we do. And for her birthday, I got her a simple card. We went out for dinner, and once again we show our love on a daily basis. And I think that's very important in a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Jill and I are very similar in that we don't buy each other anything. Occasionally we will, but it's very rare. Usually it just happens to be we use it as kind of like a justification for purchasing some large gift,
like a TV.
Yeah, you know, actually 100%. Yeah, Jill's birthday, what I did is I bought a new TV for our bedroom. And I bought a TV or a wall mount so that I could put it up on the wall and get it off of the. We had it on top of like our dresser, in the bedroom and everything. And so I put it up on the wall, so now it's off the dresser. It gives us a little bit more space to store a bunch of crap, really. And we don't generally buy stuff either. My birthday coming up, I already told him, I'm like, don't buy me anything. I don't need anything. If I want anything,
yeah,
I will just buy it, and I'll be like, "Hey, bought myself a birthday present. Here we are." You know,
there you go.
Like I don't ever need anything. Everything is just wants. So we just, we're very similar in that we don't buy each other gifts on really any holiday. We don't do anything for Hanukkah, for Christmas, birthdays. We do for the girls. We'll buy. Generally speaking, for the girls, we'll do something with them. It's kind of like our way of not trying to keep them from wanting to have gifts all the time. We'll take them to, like, last year they actually had a birthday party, but the year before that, I think we did like a Atlanta trip. We went and we just took them to Atlanta and kind of toured the city and stuff like that. So, did you guys have anything else that kind of happened over the last couple of weeks?
Just the last weekend, this past Saturday, I had to work.
Ooh,
half the day.
Rough.
And then, it was all good, only from 8 to 1, so
that's not too bad.
And then had to do the old removal of the toilet valve, remove and replace, so that was fun.
Yeah.
And those are pretty simple. Some people are a little bit intimidated, I think, by replacing the toilet valve on your toilet, but it's you know, once you get into it, and I, you know, throughout my years, I've replaced quite a few, so I know exactly what it all entails and everything. But some people would rather just have their toilet run or not flush or whatever the case may be, and say, well, let's call the plumber or whatever. You know what I mean? And not do it. But it's pretty simple procedure.
Yeah, I'm a little embarrassed to say that. Hold on. Okay, I haven't told the embarrassing part yet, and you're already laughing at me.
This was like I sort of know where this would go though.
This was like 8 or 10 years ago. Let me see. We've been in this house. The girls were 2 when we moved in, so it was probably about 6 years ago. We had a toilet valve go bad in our toilet, and a couple of my buddies in a Linux chat that I'm in, who actually do listen to the show. Shout out to my Linux buddies. We don't have a whole lot of listeners. We have about 6 really, really solid listeners, and then there's a couple of people that just kind of dribble in every now and again. But anyway, sure. So they'll find this funny because I actually went to them about it. These guys are people I've known since I was literally in high school. Since 9th grade, I've been in this chat, and several I've met a couple of them actually in real life too. So I consider them real friends. I mean, they are real people. They're real friends. We just happen to know each other through this internet medium. Anyway, so I had a toilet valve that was going bad, and I didn't know how to change it. And I'm the kind of person who, I prefer to pay someone to do it the first time, and I'll watch and learn how it's done rather than screw it up and just make it a whole mess to begin with. And so sure. I hired a plumber to come out, and he paid it was like $75 or something ridiculous like that. But I learned, right?
Hey,
so
I'd like to be paid $75 for a half hour job. $75.
That's what I'm saying. I watched him do what he did, I was like, this is ridiculous. I cannot believe that I just paid someone $75 to basically remove a plastic nut from the bottom. The hardest part of the whole thing is emptying out the reservoir, the water reservoir in the back of the tank, and then suctioning out all the water so you don't make a complete and utter mess of everything. I've had to change since that embarrassing moment. I've had to change probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 of them. And I changed a whole toilet, okay? Like, I'm pretty handy around the house, all right? but yeah, the girls' bathroom in the house that I'm in now, their toilet was having some issues, and the seal went bad, and so I had to pull all that up. And it was disgusting, but it ended up not being the worst thing in the world. And
hands-on training is the best thing to do. Yeah. Is to look at it, you know, analyze it, look what you have. And then just do it one step at a time, and it comes, and then you just reverse the step.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yeah, exactly. And I've changed several of them since that time, and so I'm fairly confident in my abilities to handle the low level plumbing stuff that we got now.
One thing I don't like to do is like the on a sink for the trap, the U-trap.
Yeah.
Is if you got a clog and you start undoing it, or if you have a leak, whatever the case may be, and you get up underneath there and get a bucket up underneath there and undo the stuff and go ahead and let it drop down. And then once you start getting it back together, is it seems like it's a little off one way or a little off the other way, and it has to be, you know, right on cue.
Right.
And then they say, and then in plumbing's term, they always say just hand tighten it, which I've gotten throughout the years. But it seems like every time that you tighten one way on one part of the plumbing pipes, there's always another leak coming from the other side. And then you try and adjust that side, and then it leaks on another part, and it just continues. So that's why I don't like really to do the sink parts of it.
Right.
But toilets I can do, you know, I've done those. I've done toilets and a few other things, but I've done wash machines, you know, and things like that. But just the U-trap sometimes always gets me. I don't know why.
No, I mean, that makes sense. It's just you adjust it on one end, and then the other end it gets all messed up. And because it's hand tight everywhere, you know, it compounds all the way down. You've got to adjust it all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, So for me, over the past couple of weeks, it's been, I mean, I feel like I say this every week, that it's been like, it's been hectic, it's been crazy. I think we're just at, I'm just at that point of my life where my kids have a whole bunch of activities and we have stuff kind of going on and things like that. So I'm going to refrain from saying that my past couple of weeks have been extremely hectic, but that's kind of what they've been. I took Charlotte, this was almost a year ago. It was probably about 8 or 9 months ago. I took Charlotte to hunt, or not hunting, camping. And, because I want the girls to camp, I want them to go outside and, you know, kind of rough it a little bit and not always be, have their normal, you know, amenities available to them and everything. And so I took Charlotte a couple of months ago. We went out. We had a great time. We swam in the lake. We fished. We did that whole nine. And I think we talked about that and everything, or whatever. But it was Lila's turn now. So I was going to take Lila shortly after I took Charlotte. But what happened was we had rain for several weekends. And then it got into the really, really deep, hot months of the summer. And then after that, we got into our fall season, which here in Alabama, the fall season can be very rainy and nasty. So it wasn't
dangerous.
Not too dangerous. It's just nasty. And I mean, really, the part of the thing was I wanted to be able to take Lila and let her kind of experience a lot of the things Charlotte did, which was to swim in the lake and like go fishing and things like that. And so we kind of put it off. And so a couple of weeks ago, I went, which would have been the last podcast we did. It was the weekend before that. I took Lila and we went out camping. And we did, it's primitive campsite. Like, there's nothing there. There's no electricity. There's no water. It's literally a flat space that you can put a tent. And there is a campfire area that you can put up a fire and stuff like that to do, you know, cook and s'mores and just kind of have a campfire by the night and everything like that. So I took her and we did that a couple weekends ago, and it was a great time. We went out, we started out in the day, we got out there around 10 o'clock. I set up camp, I put up the tent, I put up a couple of hammocks, we had bug nets over the hammock in case that got too crazy. And then, we went down and Lila and I kind of scouted out the campground because when I was there with Charlotte, we got there a little late, so we didn't really get to explore anything. And, so yeah, we walked around, saw all the different parts of the camp. They had a playground for kids to play on and stuff. And I think we went down, we swam for like 3 hours in the lake, which was really, really cool. There's, wow. It's like this little like beach area. And it's just kind of neat because it's not a pool. You can't see all the way to the bottom of this thing. There are fish and snakes that are in this thing. Snakes, they're not really around, but I've saw a couple of them, when I was out there with Charlotte the last time. But it's just kind of neat, you know. You're out in the, you're camping and
having. You didn't tell her that though, did you?
No, of course not. No, it's not even close. but we went out there, and so we were out.
I think the trip would have been done by then, right?
Yeah, we probably would have closed up shop and
packed it on up.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
So anyway, we did that. We came back. We hung out at the campsite and read for a little while. So they're at an age where they can actually like read books, actual full on chapter books. So Lila and I sat down and we read for about an hour and took naps and it was just kind of relaxing and everything. It was really, really a great camping trip until we had some neighbors. So this is not like primitive camping where you're out in the middle of the woods and nobody's around you. It's camping in that you have a campground and there are other campsites that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. Our neighboring campsite was a family. They had like three adults. There was probably four or five kids and two dogs. And it's not a big campsite. So that's a lot of people for the campsite, to say the least. And I'm pretty sure that their dog wasn't on a leash. It was a really friendly dog, real nice. It wasn't like coming over. It wasn't going to bite us or anything. It was real friendly. But I'm like 99% sure that the dog took a crap behind our campsite. And not close enough to where it like impacted us to where we could smell it or anything like that. Okay. That's not what I'm getting at. But close enough to where when at the end of the night we had a campfire going, we did s'mores, we did the whole nine, and like Lila's not really a big sweets person, so she had one, and so I had to have the rest of the eight that we had. I had like two of them. They're huge, but it was towards the end of the night. We did s'mores. We just kind of hung out by the campfire and chatted. I like to ask some silly questions, like what's the worst bad word that you know, and just kind of judge where they're at. You know, maturity level.
And what word was that?
So it was PG-13 of a word. So they're still not into the F word or anything like that. She said ish was the worst word, which is going to be what really word was funny. That? Ish, ish, oh. ish. But no, which is going to turn out to be really funny. So anyway, like I said, there was a dog. I'm pretty sure he took a crap out by the backside of our campsite, and it was dark out, but it wasn't dark enough that you really needed a headlamp or anything like that. You could see the trail, and you could see for the most part anything on the trail, but it was dark enough to where it was kind of impacting your ability to see. And so the end of the night, she goes out, she walks out there, and she's going to use the bathroom, and she comes back, and the only thing I can think of is she stepped in some dog crap on the way back. I had already set up the tent. I was being very meticulous about the tent. I was like, I put a towel out in front of it. I said, no shoes, because I don't like sleeping in dirt, right? Like if you drag in a whole bunch of dirt into the tent and it's all like crusty and everything. And I was like, you know, take off your shoes and everything. So she walked to the bathroom. The bathroom was right behind our camp. It wasn't very far away. And I have literally Alabama girls, okay? They love walking around barefoot. It's just standard Southern girl attire. So she walked to the bathroom barefoot. I didn't think anything of it. She comes back, and she's like, I'm assuming she stepped in some dog crap. She brings it in. It goes into the tent. We don't really notice it initially, but I notice it after we already got stuff all over, like the bedding and everything. So I put everything, like, so I have a sleeping pad. It's not a bed, but it's a blow up pad that has some air in it and stuff like that. And I only could find one, and I was planning on sleeping in the hammock, but she wanted me to sleep in the tent with her, so I was like, all right, fine, I'll suck it up. I'll put a sleeping bag down, and I'll just sleep on top of the sleeping bag, and that'll be enough cushion for me. Well, we ended up getting stuff all over it. Needless to say, what it was that got all over it. And I had to take all of the sleeping bags out. Luckily, we didn't get it on the sleeping pad, but we had one sleeping bag left that I didn't actually put out. And so, you know, me and her in this, everything was great right up until this moment, okay? Like, the whole trip was fantastic. And then we had to sleep on this, like, it's not even the size, it's smaller than a twin bed, okay? And we're both sleeping on this twin mattress thing. I've got one sleeping bag, and it actually got to be pretty cold overnight. I mean, it was 90 degrees during the day. When we woke up in the morning, it was probably like 67, 68 degrees. So that's not cold, but if you've been out all day and it's been 90 degrees and you're taking your shirt off and you're sweating, and then all of a sudden when you wake up, it can, yeah, it feels a little chilly. So we had this one sleeping bag. I basically slept on the floor of the ground, like literally on the hard ground until the morning and everything. But again, it turned out it was a great trip. We're going to go again. Actually, I'm going to go with a buddy of mine. Shout out to Alan. I'm going to tell him he got a shout out on this, so he'll try to listen to it and try to improve our listenership a little bit. But shout out to Alan. We're going to go with him and his daughter. His daughter and the girls are like best friends. So we're going to try to go out there and just kind of hang out and have a dad-daughter trip or whatever in the next couple of weeks. All right. So it'll be fun.
Good.
But then other than that, I did. Do you know anything? Have you ever heard of the Rickwood Classic?
The what classic?
Rickwood. I'm going to guess you haven't. I didn't hear about it until I got Rickwood, here to Bourne.
Rickwood? No. Yeah.
It's a really, really famous baseball stadium. You should look it up. It's the oldest baseball stadium that's still used in professional sports. So they play one professional game here every year called the Rickwood Classic. The Birmingham Barons go out there. They dress up in like attire from the 1900s, like the early
1900s. Wow, yeah.
And
that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. And the outside, like the stadium, the back like the wall, like center field, left field, right field, and everything, the outfield walls have like old timey style advertisements and things. And it's legitimately the same seating style that they did, that they had when it opened in like 1910. Very, very bare bones, but it's
just bleachers.
Oh yeah. And they have seat backs, but most of it is bleacher. But it's just so cool. You know, like the history that's there. Jackie Robinson played there when he played in the Negro Leagues. I mean, there's just like.
And this is in Birmingham?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's downtown Birmingham, okay. Rookwood, well, we'll Rookwood Field. We'll
have to look into that next time we're down there.
Yeah, a buddy of mine actually can probably get us like a tour where we can go and like look around. And there's all kinds of really, really cool stuff. When I went out there with him last time, he had he got us a free tour. And we just kind of walked. They were just like, yeah, just walk around, you know, don't break anything, but you can go anywhere you want. And we went out to where the scoreboard is. It's an old style scoreboard with physical numbers. They like you know how they have at Wrigley Field where you have to pull the numbers off and put them on kind of deal. They have that.
In Boston.
Yep, in Boston.
Yeah.
They have the behind home plate up above where the netting is and everything. There's like where you would have a camera. That's like the press box, and so we were allowed to go up there, and you could see where you could see the field from and stuff. It was just a really good time. It was really, really fun to go out there, and I've never seen it. It's like a bucket list item for baseball fans. Like if you're a real big baseball fan, you know about the Rickwood Classic, and it's a bucket list for a lot of baseball fans. So I got to go out there and do that. I wanted to score the game, but I forgot my freaking pen or dropped my pen. I don't know what happened, but I brought my scorecard out there to score it and didn't have a pen. And so I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to be here and watch the game. And it ended up being fun. The Barons lost, but it was still a pretty good game.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, I look forward to that, though.
We'll definitely go out there next time you guys are here. What else happened? I got my car washed. That's always fascinating. It was a complete wreck. The girls are animals in the van. And so I went and got that cleaned. And then what else did we do? We had a birthday party, which the birthday party is not really like the fascinating part. It was one of the girls' good friends. Another one of their like best friends they've known forever. And, have you ever played bocce ball?
No.
Okay, so bocce ball is very similar to a lot of these other games like cornhole or horseshoes or any of those games where you have something and you've got to toss something at something else, right? And it's a really fun game. I've never played it before. They had a bocce ball set up and everything there, and we didn't have like an actual bocce ball course or bocce ball.
Is this the thing that you take the ball and you bounce it on like a miniature trampoline?
No. That's like, I know what you're talking about. That's like you have a ball and there's like four people around it and you're like diving for it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, that's not this. This one you take like there's a little small ball that's probably the size of like a large gumball and you toss it out and then you have three or four larger balls that are probably the size of a softball, but probably it's the size of a softball, but the same density as a cue ball. So it's a heavy ball. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And you take those ball, these heavy balls, and you try to toss it as close as you can to the red ball that you tossed out there the first time, the gumball. And whoever gets closest to it gets the points, kind of deal. They didn't have, there wasn't an actual bocce ball court, which they actually do have. There's like a official court type thing, and it's in sand and stuff like that. But we just played like randomly, and so it was kind of neat because we had some like hazards like, tree roots and branches and stuff that we had to avoid, but it ended up being a lot of fun. So
much sounds like a Midwestern game or something out in Wyoming. I mean, or
it's always they're always the same though. You always take and you've got to take some object and throw it towards some other object and get whoever gets closest to that object gets points. Or if you go in the hole, you get points. It's like that's always kind of like the thing to do. So it's been a pretty jam-packed couple of weeks to say the least. I mean enough that I was able to fill 20-ish minutes worth of airtime here. So it's been
have you gotten your fishing license yet?
I don't have to renew my fishing license until August. I've already got my fishing license.
Okay, mine was done in April, so we went and did that last weekend too. Mm. So I'm going to start on to that.
Nice. Yeah, I get mine every single year. I always buy it. I think it's like $12 or something in Alabama. So I generally just get it, even if I don't have anything planned. I don't wait on it or anything. I like to just have it. So that if I get the opportunity to do it, and it's all online now too, so it's super easy. That was our last couple of weeks. The other thing that we kind of wanted to start doing as part of the podcast, we wanted to start asking questions and having some fun with that. And the one that I think you came up with this one last week, you wanted to talk about what our first car was. And so
yeah, I think the original. When we first started this was, I think it was, what was your first job?
Yep.
That's what first started. Real full-time type of job. Yep. So now we're leading into the, what was your first car?
Yep.
So I'll start with that one. Mine was, we had a next door neighbor that lived next door to us out in Hampton, and he had a car that he had on the side of the house. That I was eyeing for years and years. I'd walk home from high school and everything, and I'd sit on the side of their house. And I was dying to look for a car, and I asked them what type of car it was. I had no clue as to what type of car it even was. And he stated that it was a 1967 Ford Galaxy 500. And this thing was baby blue. It was huge. It had the huge steering wheel with the metal horn, half U-shaped horn on it. And I asked him, what would it take to get it going? He says, well, it really needs major work. I mean, the cylinder heads were all gunked up with oil. And it had transmission leaks and everything. I asked him, what he wanted for it, and he stated that he wanted $500. So I was like, well, I'm still in high school. I don't, you know, have the money, that kind of money.
And this is just for context. This is about 1978, right?
That is correct.
That's about when you would have been 16, yeah. Right?
Yep. Right around that year. And I mean, it needed major work. It wouldn't even start. So I ended up talking him down for $300 and ended up getting it. And I had it out in front of the house for I don't know how many months. And I actually didn't know a whole lot about cars back then, but I took that thing apart from the cylinder heads. I didn't do like major work on the interior and things like that, but I took the cylinder heads off, the valve covers, the cylinder heads. And like I said, it was all hard oil caked up from just sitting
right
for so many years on the side of their house. And I took it apart and cleaned it up, soaked it in like varnish or whatever the case may be that we had back in those days, and drained the transmission fluid, drained the oil out from the pans and resealed them. Back then, they had what you call push rods, which were just rods that go down inside the holes on the heads, and they would push up against the cams and these lifters. And had to take all the lifters off and talk to some guy on how to actually retime it and everything, and got it back together. You're talking about the talk of the town when I was driving that thing in high school. Let me tell you, we went to back in those days we had drive-in theater off Route 17, cinema,
where the Walmart theater is right now.
Yeah, that didn't even exist back then, but there was a drive-in theater back then.
Yeah,
and I would actually have, I don't know, let me say 3, 6, 7, 8, 9. I would have probably 9 to 10 people packed into that car.
Sounds safe.
4 to 5 deep in the trunk. That's how huge the trunk was, and like 3 in the back and 2 up front. So, you know, to get in, it was almost like a flat rate. And you're talking good times back then. And that's one thing that I think that they actually need to open up again throughout, you know, whether it be the nation or just here.
They have some drive here. I want to say we have a couple here. And I know Jill and I went to one when we were in Arizona. Was it Arizona? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in Arizona, in Tucson. We went to one. I'm pretty sure they have one here. It's a fairly new one as well. But they do. It's like, it's real weird. I think they charge you by the head, and like the whole thing is like, you want, like when you go to those, you want to be charged by the car, not the number of people that go with you. And mm-hmm. then they don't allow you to bring in alcohol, which I don't really know how they enforce that, but it's just kind of their rule that you can't bring it in. And there's a couple other stuff that with it.
And they enforced it back then too. So, but yeah, you know what? Yep. Just like the people in the trunk and
yeah.
everything else, you get it in one way or the other.
I don't know. I'm such a rule follower. That's one thing that I don't know why. I didn't used to be that way. And Jill and I have had conversations about this before. Like when I was in high school, I wasn't really a rule follower. Like I never did my homework. I didn't really care about like impressing people or anything like that. But then for whatever reason, once I got older and got away, and I was in the military, maybe it was the military that did it. I turn into this like big rule follower, and I don't know, I get all anxious about it. It gives me anxiety, and I generally just try to follow the rules just to do that kind of stuff. And so it's like
the best way to go anyway. Yeah, so.
Well, they say,
but so. they are made to be broken.
Yeah. So, but so, okay. So you bought a $300, what was the model and make a model again? What
was it? It was a 67 Ford Galaxy 500. And it was baby blue. We called it the La Bamba.
Is this the car that you could play? I remember we've talked about this briefly, I think, before. You could play cards on the dash. Was that the
dashboard.
One?
Dashboard. Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
It was big
yeah.
enough and that you could do that?
It had the buttons that you push for the radio. Mm-hmm. You know, like five or six buttons.
We had a car, though, growing up.
Strictly AM.
No. We had a car growing up that had that. That was the, also a Ford. It was actually, it leads me into my first car here in just a moment. But it was a Ford. It was a, like, maroon-colored Ford. What was that car? Do you know what I'm talking about? It was an eight-cylinder vehicle. I can't remember what it was. Was it?
They had that torn roof on it, the material roof on it.
Right? Yeah, the freaking fire hazard. And you guys at that time, you guys were all smokers, so it was really, really.
Well, you know, I was, and I had that car when Mitch lived out in Pocosin.
Yeah,
and that car was probably.
Does he wait? Does he not live in Pocosin now?
Yeah, he still lives there, but okay. he built another house.
Yeah.
About two or three houses down.
Yeah,
but in his original house that he lived in, that car, probably value wise was like $100. Well, I parked my car out on the street, and one of the guys who was at his house came out of the driveway, was backing out, and like hit the quarter panel
right
on my maroon car. And I was like, oh, my God, man, what's going on? You know, and it didn't have like it wasn't wrecked or anything, but it was a piece of junk.
Right.
But he says, man, do me a favor, man. I can't, you know, process this through my insurance company. Don't call the cops. Blah, blah, blah. I says, man, I'm not gonna. He says, well, what do I need to do? I says, I don't know. You tell me. He says, I'll give you $300 and you can fix it or you can just keep the money. I says, okay, if that's what you want to do, you know, like I said, I'm not going to call the police on you, but I got to at least tell my insurance company if I don't get anything out of it, you know what I mean? Right. And you're going to have to call your insurance company. And he says, nah, man, just I'll give you $300. And he ended up giving me three times more value than the actual car was worth. Like, okay, so I took it.
Yeah. You know? So my first car was a 1984. It was a blue Mustang. It was a four banger, inline four.
Four banger.
Yeah, it was, I mean, And this is another one of those episodes where I really wish the first hype things are things where like Travis was really big in the debauchery and the things that went on around owning that vehicle. But man, that was one of those things, and that I still to this day will remember. I bought it as well. It's funny, you paid $300 for your first car. The first car that I purchased was that one was $300. I paid $300. It ran. I don't really remember why the guy was selling it. There was nothing that I could remember that was wrong with it. We didn't have to do a lot to it. I think that we brought it into the dealership where you were at, Casey, at the time. And we had them just look it over. And just, I think all we did was we had an oil change and we got some tires put on it. And it was good to go. And yeah, I loved that car. It was me, Jamie, and Travis. We took it, and we were, at the time, all of us like were rollerbladers, which I was never really good at. I was kind of just the guy who video camered us and stuff like that and just kind of rolled around. But there's so many things that I remember about that car. Like, I remember the catalytic converter got clogged, and it made a horrible sound when you were driving it. But the worst part about it is I remember I parked it, and our next door neighbor, Lisa or whatever.
Strickland,
who lived over there. Mm-hmm. She's out there like gardening, like watering her garden or something like that. And she looks over and she goes, PJ, your car's on fire. And I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean my car's on fire? She goes, look underneath of it. Your car's on fire. Lo and behold, I look up underneath of there, and the catalytic converter, it was so clogged.
Stuffed up.
Whatever was in it, I mean, it was obviously just soot and just nastiness. And it literally caught on fire. It was full on fire. And so she handed me the hose, and I dragged it over there, and I put out this fire in the car. The other thing I remember, I was driving with, it was me, Travis. Yeah, it was just me and Travis. And there's two good stories I have with that car with me and Travis. So one of them, I was driving to Jamie's house, and Jamie's neighborhood, it was like this really nice neighborhood, but it had a median in the middle of this thing that divided. When you go in, there was one side for cars to go in and one to go out. And I am the worst, absolute worst to this day. So at 16, I was bad. To this day, I'm still a horrible, horrible person when it comes to directions and knowing where I'm at or where I need to go or when it's time to turn.
You took after me, yeah.
And I tell people all the time, I'm like, listen, I am horrible with directions. If you do not tell me like a mile in advance, we're going to probably get into an accident. So you either tell me a mile in advance or I'm just going to pass the turn and we'll figure it out. Because I'm not going to try.
U-turn.
Yeah, I'm not going to cross four lanes of traffic. I've already done that. That's what I screwed up when I was younger. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But I don't do that kind of stuff. Like, if someone's like, oh my God, you got to turn here. I'm like, nope, we're going to keep on going and we'll figure it out. I'm not making any drastic turns. Life's too short for that kind of stuff. So I'm just going to, we'll be back. It's not that big of a deal. So anyway, so I was turning into Jamie's and Travis pulled one of those. Dude, you got to turn here. And I was like, oh my God. And I whipped the wheel and went sliding, and we went into the median, up into the median. And fortunately, I didn't break anything, which was cool. Like, I didn't break the axles or anything like that.
So it wasn't a curb medium? It was just grass medium?
No. It was a curb medium. But it like the I clearly didn't hit it that hard. I hit it hard enough to where I was like, ooh, that's not good. But like not
well, think
hard
about
enough.
Think about it. Back then, like the control arms and the wishbones and everything back then and everything was pretty much cast iron.
Yeah. I mean,
whereas now it's like aluminum and everything like right. that. So you would have been screwed back then.
Right.
Or nowadays, I say.
And so anyway, I hit that and we backed out. We went about our business or whatever, but it was kind of scary. The other time that I was with Travis and this happened, we were driving home. We were working at Kmart. We were on our way home. I was driving us and it was raining outside. And like Mustangs are notorious for having loose back ends to where they just kind of just slide out from underneath you. Usually when you're driving ridiculous, I was not at this point. I'm not lying to you. This is not I'm trying to tell a story type thing. I was driving just normal. It just happened to be raining its ass off outside. I was coming out of Kmart and I was taking a left and the back end slid out from underneath me. I don't even know why. I was not like gunning it. I wasn't trying to hot dog it or anything. It's just me and Travis. I don't have any reason to show off. It's just us. And so I come out, it swings out the thing. I do a full on 360 in the middle of this, in the road.
Holy cow.
I did not hit anything. It was fantastic. I ended up pulling off to the side of the road. I went into this parking lot. Me and Travis were both just sitting there going
to change your underwear.
Basically. Yeah. We were both like, oh my God, what just happened? We didn't hit anything. We're so fortunate. it was like crazy. Oh. But then that car, what else? I did another thing where I think on 17, I took a weird left. My first, because again, it's first car. I was driving with Jacob and one other person, and you know, when teenagers get a lot of people in the car, you're not able to focus properly. You know, you really shouldn't allow too many teenagers in a car, because there's just a lot going on. And I think I was taking a left, and I went over the, like, 17 has that median in the middle of it. And when you're taking a left, you can, like, it's almost a ditch kind of deal. And I went over the top of that, and I'm fortunate there wasn't a car on my right, because I very easily would have sideswiped it, because I whipped the wheel to the right to get out of there. And I remember Jacob was like, you didn't even look to see if there was a car there. I was like, you're right, I didn't. Fortunately, there wasn't a car, but there was no time to look and see if there was a car. Yeah. You know, cause, he was, and the thing is, it's funny. He was always a better driver. Like he's actually really, really good at like driving and motorcycles and like just that kind of stuff. Like he's always been better at that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, there was plenty of time. You could have looked over to your right and made sure it wasn't there. I was like, I was freaking out. But yeah, we had a lot of fun in was an 84 Ford Mustang. I'll never forget it. It was 1 year.
Do you remember when I had that? The white Volkswagen Cabriolet.
Yeah, the Rabbit.
The square one.
Yeah, we talked about that on here briefly before.
And y'all used to like duck down when I don't know if I was driving y'all to school or whatever, but I'd pull up to where we were and y'all be ducking down because y'all were so embarrassed to be in that car.
Yeah, we speaking of like old cars though, like what? So we had at the house on Oak Street, 114, in the garage, there was what was that car? Was it Camaro?
Yeah, the silver Camaro.
Yeah, what was the story behind that car? It never ran that I remember. I know you guys worked on it for a while.
Yeah, I was on a softball team, and one of the guys were looking to sell it because it had a blown head gasket. So I told him I'd buy it. I forget even how much I paid for it, but I ended up getting it for dirt cheap. And I don't even remember what year it was, but it had the old body style with the heavy doors and everything.
Yeah, it was a nice car. It's beautiful.
And yeah, so I ended up getting a set of heads, cylinder heads, from this one shop, Dan's Auto Repair, that he used to work for our dealership, and then he opened up his own shop. And he says, and I asked him if he knew, you know, where I can get a set of cylinder heads. And he says, yeah, you know what? I think I got a set sitting over here, over in my shop. So I said, okay. So I sent my drivers down to pick them up. And make a long story short, we took the cylinder heads, the original cylinder heads, off the Camaro and started into it. And I mean, it's a major job.
Yeah.
And started into it and got the original heads off and started put these heads on, and ended up being the incorrect cylinder heads. The cylinder heads on my car was just the cylinder heads, and you can take the exhaust manifold off of it. Well, the cylinder heads that he had at his shop, which he gave me for free, which, you know, I can't complain about
right.
it, but they were the incorrect ones. And these cylinder heads actually had a manifold, the exhaust manifold, actually built onto it that goes into the downpipe. And at that point, I was just so frustrated that it just sat there for a couple of years. And when we sold the house, we just said, hey, the car goes with it. With that.
I mean, that garage, yeah, though, had a ton of stuff in it. It had that, the Camaro. There was all of the like wood and everything that was in the overhead. What did we used to call that area? We had a name for it. Was it the loft? In that,
yeah,
garage?
Up in the loft.
Yeah, the loft area. I mean, it had there was a lot of stuff in there. And like,
That garage was actually built by Belinda's father. Actually took apart this one garage and piece by piece and took all the wood and loaded it up after they took it apart piece by piece, brought it to their house there and rebuilt it piece by piece. So that was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty big-ass garage. Why not?
Yeah, it was gargantuan. I remember that just being in the back of the house and everything. And there's things that, like, from my childhood that I remember, but it's at the same time, like, I wonder if it's still the same way. Because, you know, when you look at, for instance, if I go into my kids' cafeteria, right, I look at it, I'm like, man, this is not that big, but they fit a lot of kids in there. And I'm pretty sure, I bet if I go back to like the cafeteria that I remember in my head from like Grafton Middle School or Grafton High School or something like that, I remember if I was looking at that, I bet it's a lot smaller than it is in my head. You know, like there are things that, like I remember different things about the old house. The we had that room that went up to the attic from like Christopher's room. There was like that. It's like a door, but not a door. It was this weird hatch type thing that went up there. And I remember like that area being huge, but off limits. Like, yeah, we weren't allowed to go up there kind of deal. And
well, let me ask you something. When's the next time that you have lunch with your daughters at school?
That's
in their cafeteria and everything.
I generally don't. Jill normally does that with them.
Do it one time. That place would be the loudest place that you've ever been associated with.
So, yeah. Well, ever. They do a
ever.
They
ever.
Do a thing.
They don't eat lunch. They don't eat lunch. They just talk.
Well, no, they
and
have.
And they run around and they go to their other buddies at the next table. And you look at their food and it's all, you know, they're just, some of them will eat their food, of course. But most of them, the food's still there. And they just blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, when we went to go visit Lila and Charlotte during their lunchtime that one time, holy cow, I had anxiety attack, and I don't have anxiety.
Yeah, well, attacks. Yeah.
And that was like, wow, I can't even, we had to like put our mouths to our ears when we were talking.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, loud. But they also, holy, they have like, Lord, they have 7 minutes of silence or something that they're supposed to like, everybody has to be quiet, everybody has to eat, and then after that 7 minutes, that's when they're allowed to like talk and like, yeah, and stuff like that. So
that didn't happen.
Yeah. Maybe that's a new thing that they've implemented.
7 moments of silence. Yeah. Yeah, no, that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, we had a couple of things that we were going to talk about sports wise here. We're already at about the 50-minute mark. I think we had a lot. We had a lot of fun talking about cars and fun stuff like that. So I'm gonna postpone that. But so if any of the listeners who are listening now who want to listen next time, we'll probably touch a little bit on the recent MLB draft. That was kind of what we were going to talk about. Personally, I'll just touch really, really quickly. I'm happy with the way the draft is. I'm so happy with the Orioles front office right now. I think they're doing a fantastic job. I think we're going to see some really, really great things in probably a shorter time than what most people would think. So I think that's going to be great.
Well, picking up the number one pick out of the whole draft is,
it helps,
would make me happy.
Well, here's the thing, we're working on having the number one overall for next year too right now, because we suck so bad. So, you know, if you take 3 years of being able to draft the number one overall pick out of college, whoever that person is, hopefully you can build a pretty decent team out of it.
Well,
but
the thing is with baseball, and I'll make this short too, is the thing with baseball is with the very number one top pick in the draft is not like
football. No.
And basketball.
Nope, it isn't.
They play immediately, usually.
Yep.
Okay. Whereas baseball, they go into their affiliated teams in AAA, sometimes single A, whatever the case may be, double A, and they're there for a couple of years.
Which, until how crazy
they,
is
they
that?
They learn and they study. I don't know. I don't know if how many players have come out being
none.
You know,
I'll bet there have never been. Drafts. No, I'll bet there's never been anybody who's been drafted in the first round who's played in the MLB in shorter than 2 or 3 years, ever. Yeah. And it's crazy. Like, how is baseball the one sport where that's the case? Like, you would think football, where you have to deal with the size of these guys, you're dealing with gargantuan human beings when you're talking about the difference between playing at the collegiate level and playing in the NFL level. Or in basketball, even, where you have actually had players who come out of high school at 18 years old and are able to function at the NBA level. And play at an all-star level. You're never going to see that in MLB. It's crazy to me. It's so weird. Crazy to me that we kind of like overlook the level of athleticism that's required to play in the Major League Baseball because of how slow of a sport it is. But when you really get to the intricacies of it and you think about the strategy and everything, It's pretty impressive that these kids who come out of college, like, for instance, Adley Rutschman, who was number one overall, he's not going to play for the Orioles for probably
a couple years.
2 years, and it would probably benefit the Orioles to wait a third year to wait till he comes up. So,
and if he doesn't produce, they're going to look to use him as trade.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't pick number one. You don't pick 1-1 overall and look for this kid to be trade bait. This is you pick a number one overall. That's going to be a player that you're going to build around. This team is going to be built around Adley Rutschman. So I'm happy about it. I think it's great. There was a fantastic book called Astro Ball that details out the strategy that the Astros put together and did to kind of build the team that they did to make it to the World Series and win it. The current Orioles GM, Mike Elias, is he was the scouting director, I believe, of that regime. And he brought along his data analyst, Sid Maydell is how you pronounce it. So he brought Sid along with him. And so this is a fantastic front office. I think we have really, really great things to look forward to with it. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great time. I'm more excited about the Orioles over the next 3 years than I am the Giants, for sure. but again, I don't want to stretch this too far out past the hour. We had a lot of fun today. We'll talk about some other things, some other questions that we can ask. I think that's great. I actually really enjoy it. It's really fun kind of learning about things from both of our pasts that we probably didn't talk about, because when I'm a teenager, I'm not going to tell you things, but I can tell you now because I've made it to my 35th, almost 36th year here. And the things that I did as a dumb youth no longer matter at this point. I've passed.
There's the next subject. What was the dumbest thing that you did as a youth?
I've passed the statutes of limitations with regards to the things I did as a dumb youth. Maybe we'll look at that. I'll see if I can think of anything. If we're going to do that, I need to get Travis in here. I guarantee you that... him and I can have the reason why I say that, like, Travis and I were like connected at the hip from probably about the time we were 11.
Yin and yang.
Yeah, but the time we were 11 until I left for the military, like, we were like, he's basically my brother, you know what I mean? Like, we absolutely hung out all the time, and so he'll be able to keep me honest. I'm sure he probably has things in his mind that are much dumber that I don't even remember that from my past. So I'll try to convince him to jump on the podcast, and we'll have a good conversation around that. For now, you think about the dumbest thing you did as a teenager. I know a couple of things I remember you've told me about in the past that I thought were pretty dumb, but I'm sure we could dig into some other stuff. Maybe talk about some things that you did with, like, Mark or Carl or something like that.
We don't want to dig into that.
Hey, who knows? We don't have a lot of people listening to this. This is for me and you mostly. I have, like I said, we have about four to six really consistent listeners who I know
who
they are.
Shout out to our 4 and 6
yeah,
listeners.
if you're listening to this and you listen to it weekly, I love you. It's always great to see that number tick up. But I don't do it for that. I do it. I think it's super fun to have these conversations with you. We have a good time talking about them. And yeah, like I said, it's fun to, as an adult, have conversations like these with you to talk through how, like, I made it through it and see how you made it through youth as well. So, but yeah, nonetheless, I love you very much. And
love you too, son.
If we get to this next week, we get to it. If not, we get to it the following week, but we will get to it. All right.
You got it. Let me listen to the music.
Let's hear it.